I decided to bring the Bible as the lesson, or the message I was going to bring now, I decided to bring it this morning as the Bible lesson. But I forgot to tell Stan. Stan even came over and asked me, is this what you want me to read? I didn't catch it. I'm serious. I thank God He uses sinners to preach the gospel. Aren't you? Because we do mess up. Turn to Luke chapter 11. And let's see if we can get it right. The title of the message this morning is A Lesson in Prayer. We had a lesson this morning in forgiveness. Now we're going to have a lesson in prayer. And our Lord gives it to us here. Now let me read these verses. First 13 verses. And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, when you pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread. And forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Now, that's not the end of the lesson. That's not the end of the lesson. And he said unto them, Which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine in his journey is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, Trouble me not, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Oh, here's, I tell you, this ought to get our attention. Our Lord hears our prayer, answers our prayers, and He gives us what we need. Will he give him a stone, or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? This verse has never really jumped out at me like it did looking at this here lately. If you then, being evil, speaking there to the disciples, if you then being evil, we have a nature about us that's evil. We're born evil. If you then being evil, if you know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? Here is a lesson for us this morning in prayer. Now our Lord, who knew no sin, absolute perfection, was always praying. He would pray. He would go out and pray. It says, all night. All night in communion with His Father. He was always communing with His Father. That's what prayer is. It's communing with God. I have no doubt that a great part of our spiritual weakness comes because of our weakness right here at the throne of grace. It's our weakness in communion with our Father. Boy, don't you like that word? It's so endearing. He said, when you pray our Father. You think it will ever dawn on us before we die? I ask myself this question. Especially me. But you think it'll ever dawn on us before we die what a great privilege we have in coming to God in prayer. To be able to enter into the Holy of Holies. To be able to have the attention, the ear of God. And not just God, but God our Father. That we can come into His presence and speak to Him at any time. Any time. What a privilege. Think of who it is that we call upon. God of creation. Think about that. Think of His power. Think of His wisdom. Think of His knowledge. Of His grace. Of His love. Think of the immenseness of God. Think of who He is. And us wiggling maggots can come right in and call Him our Father and have His full... there are times I never had my Father's full attention. My sons at times never had my full attention. It's like, yeah, what do you want? Oh, wait, what? I mean, it's not my full attention. But when you call on God your Father, you have, now I'm telling you, you have His absolute attention as if nothing else exists. What? I mean, you have His ear. Give attention to my prayer, David said often. What's that worth? Is anything too hard for the Lord? Is anything too hard? Our Lord is praying. There in verse 1. And as He prayed, one of the disciples realized that he and the rest of the disciples did not know how to pray. When they heard Him pray, they realized, my Lord, teach me how to do that. And you know what? I pray. I pray He teach us. And He's teaching us right here. You know, in Matthew chapter 6, it says, after this manner, pray. I don't have to repeat these words specifically every time I pray, but the attitude that's here is in every prayer. The honoring of the Father, the recognition of my dependence upon Him, and my spiritual needs. Every one of it's right here. It's all right there. Well, he realized, I don't know how to pray, not after listening to Him. But he definitely asked the right person to teach him. The great intercessor. Our high priest. Who better to teach us to pray than Him? Who better to teach us how to pray than the one to whom we pray? Who better? Now he says in verse 2, when you pray, it's not possible to believe God, to believe the gospel, and not pray to Him. That's not possible. A believer lives in an attitude of prayer. Ever conscious of his or her need of Christ. Of our dependence on Him. Without me, you can do nothing. And don't be stupid and try. Because he said, without me, you can do nothing. Absolutely nothing. And we come to learn that, don't we? We come to learn that. Say, our Father which art in heaven. Now I want you to notice something here. I want you to notice that our Lord teaches us to be very liberal in our prayers. Our Father, our daily bread, forgive us our sins. It's not just me and mine. It's our. Our. We need to be very liberal in our prayers. Very all-inclusive in our prayers. And we are to recognize God as our Father. You know, the first commandment that was given with promise was honor your father and your mother. If we honor our father and our mother, earthly parents, how much more ought we to honor our heavenly Father? How much more ought we to give Him the glory that's due unto His name? The first matter in prayer is to give unto God the honor and the glory due unto His name. My need really comes second. Our needs come second. His glory comes first. And we recognize Him for who He is. Our Father. Man, that's astounding. He's not just my Creator. He's not just my God. He's my Father. My Father. And this also shows us union with Him. Union with Him. And union with Christ. Christ said, our Father. He said one point, I go to my Father and your Father. We have the same Father. Same one. Now, God is our Father. What does that mean? What does that mean? Well, it means this. We are begotten of God. We are born of His Spirit. We are partakers. We are made partakers of the divine nature. That's a greater position. I thought about this last night. That is a greater position than angels. They are created spirits. We are born. Born. I have two sons. That born from me, my wife Vicki. And guess what? They are partakers of my nature. We are born of God. Born of the Spirit of God. That which is born of the Spirit is what? It is Spirit. And what does the Scripture say that God is? God is Spirit. One day we're going to get rid of this old Adamic nature and then we're going to understand this. But until then, we believe God. And as our Father, what does this mean? As our Father, He's going to take care of us. You afraid of losing your job? Who took care of you before then? Who takes care of you now? Say, well, my husband does, or my wife, you know, it's just God does. Now, these are means. God uses means. He's a God of means. He uses means. But now, when one means leaves, He brings another one. Oh, would to God we believe what we preach. I wish we could get a hold of it. I know we believe it, but I wish we could get a hold of it. He will take care of us. He said, don't you worry. Don't you live anxiously. He said, look at the little birds out there. They've never worried in their life. Could you imagine that? Can you imagine getting up one morning and never, just going through an hour. Forget the day. Just go through an hour and not have one worry. To be able to sleep in a storm like our Lord did when he was on that boat. And the storm was raging and he was asleep. And the disciples were scared to death trying to bail out the water, and they woke him up and said, "Don't you care we perish?" He's not worried. There's not an ounce of worry going through his mind. God's going to take care of him. He knew it. He believed that. The perfection of his faith is our righteousness. He believed God perfectly. Your heavenly Father knoweth. You're not informing him of anything. You're not going to inform him. He didn't miss it. Your heavenly Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask him. It just takes us a while to come around to realize what we have real need of. Cast all your care on him, for he careth for you. As grumbling and fumbling and sinful as we are, he tells us, commands us, you cast your care on me. You cast your anxiety, you cast your worries on me. We sing that song, take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. I've never been able, I don't believe in this life yet, been able to leave it there. I keep dragging it back. It's like a tether. Just pull it back. You turn around and leave, and it's tied right to you. That's pitiful. Pitiful. If you worry and never doubt, he will surely bring you out. Well, I doubt, so I'm in trouble. I thank God for his grace and his mercy that he brings me out even though I doubt. Well, if he didn't, I'd never come out. Never. As our Father, he will protect us. He's our shield and buckler. He's our high tower. The Lord only makes me to dwell safely. Go ahead and lock your door, but they can still break in. Thou only. If you and I could see the evils, I mean really see the evils of this world, it would, how massive it is. But our Father is able to keep us and protect us from all things. Satan went to God. You consider my servant Job? He said, yeah, but you've got a hedge about him. And I can't do anything. There's a hedge about every one of God's children. Every one of them. Now, where is our Father? He is not in Rome. He's in heaven. He's in heaven, seated on the throne. Listen, seated on the throne. He's not just in heaven, but he's in heaven, seated on the throne. What's that mean? That means he rules over all. That means he is right on top of it. That means he's above all. He's not on this earth. He's in heaven. He is in his holy temple, ruling and reigning. How are we to think of him? How are we to speak to him? First, hallowed, holy be thy name. We never use our Father's name in vain. People like to take God's name in vain. Why don't they use their own dad's name and use it in vain? Why don't they use their own earthly fathers and use their name in vain? Don't use his name. None of God's children are to use his name in any vain manner whatsoever. Speaking of him in light, lightly, or in a vain way. Hallowed be thy name. Holy be thy name. He's to be loved. He's to be honored. He's to be respected. He's to be spoken highly of. And never forget that He's holy. I'm telling you this. I'm glad God our Father is holy. I'm glad He's holy. And here's our attitude in prayer. We give Him reverence. We speak of Him highly. Give honor to His name. And we pray, Thy kingdom come. Do you really want God's kingdom to come? Why? There's been times I've wanted it to come because I'm having a bad day. I've had a bad week or a bad year. I wish God would just put an end to all this. And there are times I strongly feel like that. Times I wish He'd just put an end to this and establish it. But the real reason we pray Thy kingdom come is for His glory and for the establishment of Christ and all that He purchased. Thy kingdom come. Oh, that we pray for the advancement of His kingdom. Our minds, listen now, our minds are to be more on His kingdom than this kingdom we live in down here, men. You know, I love this country. I thank God that I live in this country. But I seek a better country, a better city, a better kingdom. A kingdom wherein dwells righteousness. Righteousness does not dwell in the United States of America. Righteousness dwells in the kingdom of God. It's a kingdom of light. Every country on this earth is a kingdom of darkness. Every country. The only country that's a kingdom of light is the kingdom of God. The only kingdom that has righteousness is the kingdom of God. The only kingdom that's filled full of love is the kingdom of God. Pray that it comes. Oh, I pray that it comes. That it be established. A young man, years ago, I said I wished, and I did, and I still do. I mean, I do. I wish the Lord would come and this would all end and it'd be over with. He said, well, not right now. He said, I got some things I want to accomplish. You got some things you want to accomplish here? I don't. Not anymore. I don't. I want the accomplishments of Christ to be established and this be over with. Whenever it's His will. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. Now, brethren, we pray that, don't we? We pray that. And we desire that God's will be done. But that's not always easy. You know, my oldest son tried to commit suicide here a year ago. And just about did it. And for the first time in my life, that the weight of Thy will be done came home. I had to think about that one. Thy will be done on earth in my house as it is in heaven. God's will is the best will, but sometimes it hurts. God's will is for His glory and it's for our good, but it doesn't always feel good. Not always. But it's good. And we pray. After you weigh that out, you know, that's easy. And it's easy to say standing here this morning, but it's tough to say when you're standing over a loved one and say, Thy will be done. That's hard. But it's to be done. And it's the best. As in heaven, so in earth. His will is done in heaven perfectly, immediately, consistently, and that's how it should be done here. That's how it's to be done here. And even though I know that we miss the mark in all of these, at least the attitude's to be there. At least the real attitude of thy will be done is to be there. And then here's our recognition. We recognize God as our Father, His kingdom, His will. That's first. Now we recognize our need. Our need and dependence on Him. Give us day by day our daily bread. What do you need? You need a job? Ask for it. And don't stop asking for it. I'll show you that here in a minute. Don't stop asking. We have physical needs, financial needs. And He's saying, you lay them all out. Our daily bread includes all our needs. Not just food on the table. It includes all our needs. Give us day by day. I had a man tell me, a man who claimed to believe the gospel some years ago. He told me, he said, if I did not have several hundred thousand dollars in the bank, I don't know what I'd go crazy. He said, it scared me to death. I thought, you need to go broke. You absolutely need to go broke to find out whether your faith is real or not. Whether you're dependent on God or not. You need to go broke. I couldn't, when he said that to me, I thought, let me say this. Thank God that He makes you ask for your daily bread. Thank God He makes you understand and know your dependence on Him daily. Give us our bread daily. Meet my needs daily. It's not that I've got enough to last for the, if I lose my job, I've got enough in the bank to last for 5 years. So that means, you're not going to pray for 5 years? You're not going to pray for your need? No. We need Him daily. We depend on Him daily. Those birds out there that fly in the air, they depend on Him every morning for something to eat and take care of them. And then we come to in verse 4 to our spiritual needs. And forgive us our sins. We pray for our daily needs. Now we have spiritual needs. Forgive us our sins, and they are many. We need constant forgiveness of sins, don't we? We need constant forgiveness because we constantly sin. Just go and read Romans 7. Paul said, that which I would do, I do not. That which I would not do, I do. It's a mess. I feel like a mess. You ever do something you wish you wouldn't do, and then you ought to do something, you don't do it? He that knoweth to do good, to him it's sin. Whatsoever is not of faith, it's sin. Lord, forgive me my sins. Oh, forgive me my sins. Constant need of forgiveness of sins. And this goes along with the lesson this morning. For we also forgive everyone. He didn't say we ought to forgive everyone, does he? He didn't say for we ought to forgive everyone. He said for we forgive. I mean, it's, no, he said forgive us our sins. For we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. Don't you ask God to forgive you and you don't forgive. It ain't happening. A sinner who has tasted that the Lord is gracious cannot help but forgive. It's just in him. Forgive because we've been forgiven. And lead us not to temptation. I do not want to be led into a trial. I'm not going to ask God to try me, to put me into a trial, because that's already ordained to happen. I pray He give me the grace to go through it. I've never asked my dad to discipline me. I never asked my father to. I never came home from school and said, "You need to discipline me today. I wasn't very good. Or I need a discipline today." No. I pray He give me the grace to go through all the trials that are ordained for me. Give me the strength to endure to the end. Because if I'm tried, if I'm tempted, I guarantee you this, I'll fail. How many times I can look back and I just, boy, you can look back and say, "Boy, I failed at that." Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. One of the first evils that I want to be delivered from is the evil within. Right here. Deliver me from the evil within. Deliver me from the evil of this world that surrounds me. And deliver me from the evil one. Deliver me from evil. My, we live in an evil place. In an evil world. This is the essence of our prayer. Recognition of our Father, giving to Him the honor and glory due unto His name. It's a recognition of our dependence on Him. Give us our bread day by day. And it's a recognition of our spiritual need. Forgive us our sins. And remember, it's ours. Our sins. We do pray that the Lord forgive us our sins. And we do pray for things that are personal. But we always pray for ours. The Lord's people. Now it doesn't stop there. He still goes on with the lesson. And He said to them, because it can get discouraging to pray about a matter over and over and over, and it seems like it's not going. There's just no end, and there seems like no answer. But our Lord says this: which of you shall have a friend? And He's going to go to him at midnight, and He's going to say to him, "Friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine is in his journey, has come to me. I don't have anything to set before him." And he from within shall answer and say, "Trouble me not, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. Don't bother me. It's late. Go home." I think of that woman, that Syrophoenician woman. She was just wanted some crumbs that fell from the master's table. Everything he said to her was totally discouraging. He didn't say an encouraging word to her. It's not right to give the children's bread to the dogs. And she says, "Yea, Lord, but the dogs get to eat the crumbs." That fall from the master's table. Persistence. I say to you, though he will not rise and give him because he's his friend, yet because of his importunity. You know what that word importunity means? Now you just remember this. Because my grandson has it with me. He has it with me and his grandma. It means this: shameless persistence. Have shameless persistence at the throne of God. And God Himself is telling us to have it. This is not me telling you to go and have it. He's telling us. He said, "When you come to me, you keep coming, and you keep coming with shameless persistence. You ask, and you ask, and you ask. You knock, and you knock, and you knock. And you're going to get it. Yet, because of his importunity, his shameless persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. And I say to you, ask, it'll be given to you. You believe that? God of heaven and earth just came to this earth and just told us himself in his own words. You ask, and you keep asking, it'll be given to you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. You know, we live in this country. We're so used to fast food, fast this, fast that. Hurry, hurry. Got it, get it. Patience in prayer. Patience. Waiting on God. He answers, but he answers in his own time because he's the sovereign. We are not the sovereign. You know, the generation of kids we're raising today is a generation of impatient, bunch of impatient. And I don't mean this in you. I don't know you kids, so I just know mine. Brats. Impatient. I want it now. You ever see a commercial that, I can't remember how it goes, and I want my money, I want it now. It's hanging out the window. It's the most aggravating commercial on television. It hasn't been on there for a while. What's the name of that? It's some kind of a money group, anyways. It said, I want my money, and I want my money now. But that's not the way we talk to God. We just lay out our needs and wait. We will lay out our needs and wait. We lay out our needs, and we keep laying them out. And you keep waiting. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. Have you ever asked God for mercy? Have you ever asked God for forgiveness? Have you ever asked God for light? Have you ever asked God to teach you? Have you ever asked Him for those things? I promise you. I promise you, He does. You ask me for these things, you'll get it. What was it that king said to that servant? I forgave you because what? You desired it. You asked me, and that's why I forgave you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, are you going to give him a stone? If you have a son that comes to you, and he's hungry, he's in need, are you going to just put a stone up there and say, here, take this? No, you're not going to do that. You're going to give him bread. If those two little girls ask you for something to eat, you're going to give it to them. Or if he asks a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent, something that will hurt him, bite him? God has never given me anything that hurts me for eternity. It may just hurt for a little while here, but not forever. It's for our good. No, you're not going to do that. You're not going to hand him, if he wants a fish, you're not going to hand him a poisonous snake. Or if he shall ask an egg, are you going to give him a scorpion, something that's going to destroy him? If you then being evil, if you being, remember, our Father's holy, hallowed be thy name. Now, if you being evil, you're born in evil, you're born in sin, you're born in iniquity. If you know how to be compassionate and tender and caring to your children, how much more your Heavenly Father? How much more should He give the Holy Spirit to them that ask for it? If you being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Heavenly Father? Your Heavenly Father. Don't ever have hard thoughts of God. And I'm telling you, going under hard trials, it's not, you have to fight it off at times. It's something you've got to, because you still have that evil nature now. You still have that nature that wants to rise up. But remember this, He's our Heavenly Father. And He's holy, and He always does right. Always does right, and always gives us that which is good for eternity. How much more shall your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? I need the Holy Spirit. I need His guidance. I need His instructions. I need Him teaching. He shall take the things of mine and show them to you. I need Him to take the things of Christ and show them to me. How much more shall He give the Holy Spirit to them that ask? Ask. Just ask. All right. There's a lesson in prayer for us.